This is North Place Church Durban. We hope as you listen today that you experience Christ, community, and compassion. To learn more about us, go to our website at northplacechurch.co.za.
Times growing up as a little boy that I wanted to be the greatest. I've played soccer or football, real football. Not American football, but soccer. I've played that my whole life, and I've always wanted to be one of the best soccer players, and I had dreams of becoming professional player, and then when I got to the university level, I started to see that I wasn't at the level that I needed to be in order to move to that professional level, and so I had to be okay with that, and I had to learn that, you know what, I don't have to be the greatest to be good. I don't have to be the greatest in everything, that there are certain things that I'm better at than others. And in this world that we live in, we see that there is a mentality and a striving to be the greatest, to be number one, to go and to be the top. No matter what the cost, no matter what takes place, we have this idea in society today that we are to be first. No one's going to look out for you except for you, so you do everything that you have to be on top. And it's very easy to fall into that trap and to fall into that thinking of our own lives that yeah, I have to be number one. But one of the things that God tells us and talks to us about, and one of the stories we're going to be looking at in Mark chapter 9 is Jesus having an encounter with his disciples, because his disciples were having this discussion. And they were talking about the greatest and who was going to be the greatest in their kingdom. In Mark chapter 9, verse 33 and 34, it says that, "And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house," speaking of Jesus, "he asked them," his disciples, "what were you discussing along the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about whom was the greatest. Have you guys ever been in a situation like that? Maybe growing up, or maybe if you have young children. I can remember times that I was talking with my friends about something and I didn't realize that my mom was listening. And then I knew I shouldn't really be talking about that. And she's like, "What are you guys talking about in there?" And we're like, "Nothing, we're fine, everything's okay, you know." And we got caught. And that's what happened here. The disciples got caught by Jesus. They were returning from Capernaum. They were doing ministry there. It was from the time that Jesus was working. He was working his way through the region. And his ministry headquarters had been in Galilee. And so they had moved through that area. And they came to this place in Capernaum where he was wanting to instruct his disciples. Because what he had talked to them about was he was getting ready to die. He was getting ready to suffer. And then as they were walking along, the disciples were having this conversation that wasn't what Jesus was talking to them about. They had easily gone off into their own path or into their own talking about who was the greatest among them. I can imagine that they must have been embarrassed or ashamed of their arguing amongst themselves about who was the greatest. As you can tell by their silence and their dispute between each other, I believe is a reflection of how they were still bound under their natural culture there around them, and they hadn't fully understood the kingdom culture of God and what Jesus was teaching. You see, it's easy for us to look at these scriptures and jump to a quick judgment against these disciples and say, "Well, how could they do that?" When, I don't know about you, but if I honestly look at myself, I have done that many times. Where the things that I have done haven't been looking out for what's the best of what God wants for me, but I've been looking out only for what was best for me. I didn't align myself with what God's kingdom was wanting. And I was wanting to seem the greatest. And I may not say it this way, but there was times that I've wanted to be great. I had dreams of what my life was going to be like. I was a business major in university, and I had dreams of being a great CEO and making millions of dollars and having this wonderful life. But then God called me into a life of ministry. And I had to turn my thinking of being the greatest into thinking, Lord, you know what? The greatest thing that I can do for you is to give you my dreams, to give you my life, to give you what I have aspired for, to follow your path for what you have called for me to do. Wanting to be the greatest usually results in us comparing ourselves with other individuals in maybe one or two ways. The first way is that we see our weaknesses and then we compare them to someone else's strengths. We take what we think about our life, that is the weakness, and we take it into someone else's strength, and that always makes us feel inferior. Because what we're doing is we're doing an unfair comparison. I can remember after receiving the call of God and having this newfound ministry plan that I was now looking for, I didn't have experience for that. I've served the Lord since I was young, about 10 years old, and I love the Lord all my life, but this was a different track for me. And so I was looking for people to kind of help me lead me on this journey of serving the Lord. And I would look at these different pastors and leaders and people that were doing all these great things. And then I would start to compare myself to them and say, how could I even do what they're doing? Look at how great they are. Look at their success. And I am just this person. There's no way. And I started to talk myself down, not thinking that I could go to that level or do what they do, because I was taking my weaknesses, my insecurities, but I was comparing it to someone, one who had a whole lot more time in ministry than I had to develop that, but I was taking their strengths and comparing it against my own. We will always feel inferior when we compare our weaknesses to someone else's strengths. But then there's the opposite of that. You can compare yourself and your strengths against somebody else's weaknesses. You can start looking about how good you are and then comparing yourself to how good you may think somebody else isn't, and that is much of a danger as well. Because you start to see their life and you say, oh, if they could only have it together, if they would only not just live like that, if they would have a better work ethic, they wouldn't be so poor. And you start looking down upon people and that pride rises up inside of you and you are then promoting your greatness. We have to be careful in comparing ourselves to other people because it is not the way of what God wants us to do. Comparison is one of the greatest downfalls of humanity. The truth is, there's no advantage to comparing ourselves to each other. We lose either way when we do that. But when we compare ourselves to Jesus, we find who we really are. He is the rule. He is the line of who we should be aligning ourselves to. It's not about other individuals that are around us. It's about who Jesus is and the life that he has set for us. Amen? We always fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. That is the heart of God. That is what he wants us to do and to look like. And so as we go back and we look at the passage in Mark, we see how Jesus reacted to what these disciples were saying when he asked them, what are you talking about? I mean, do you really think that Jesus didn't know what they were talking about? Of course he did. He knew exactly where their hearts were, but he wanted them to know where their hearts were. And a lot of times when we go through difficult trials, we don't go through trials necessarily because God wants to see how we're going to get through them. We go through difficult situations because God wants us to see where we are and how we react in those situations. So we see that Jesus was talking to them. And in Mark 9, verse 35, it says that sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and he said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. I love the imagery that Jesus has here, what Mark was sharing, where Jesus comes and he takes the posture of sitting down with them. And then he grabs and brings the 12 around them and he talks to them. It would have been very easy for Jesus to be upset and say, haven't you got this through your mind yet? But no, he took them as a compassionate shepherd and he brought them and he said, if you want to be first, then you must be the greatest servant of all. Upside down living is being a servant by putting others first. That is what God calls us to do as followers of Jesus Christ, as we are to put others first before ourselves. We have to put their needs above our own. And this is a complete reversal of the values that we're taught. This is a complete opposite of what we have been grown up or possibly taught of how we need to live our life, is that we have to put others first. Now, I'm not talking about not being your best. That's different. You are your best at everything. You are your best at studying. You are your best at working. You are your best at doing everything, but you realize that your best includes the best of others around you. The very fact that the disciples were concerned about their greatness underscores, again, their failure to understand Jesus' statements about his suffering and his death. Do you understand what Jesus is saying to you today? You must be the greatest servant of all. You must put other people first. I must do that. To be great in the kingdom of God requires us to be servants of other people. Now, the leadership style that the disciples were accustomed to were because they were flaunted and improperly demonstrated by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And so hold your finger here in Mark chapter 9, and we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 23 for a little bit. We're going to come back to this Mark passage. But I want to show you the culture of what the disciples were being grown up in and how Jesus responded to that. So in Matthew 23, we're going to start in verse number 1. It says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. You see, they held a position of influence. And Jesus said that you need to listen to what these Pharisees are saying. The written word wasn't available to everyone like it is for us today. They had to go into the synagogues and had the religious leaders teach them and tell them how to live their life. And so that's what these Pharisees and leaders were doing. And Jesus says, you listen to them because they are teaching you the truth. They are teaching you the law, but you don't do what they do because they're not doing what they say should be done. The fault of the Pharisees was that they simply didn't practice what they taught. Upside down greatness isn't simply about position and proclamation. You see, the Pharisees had the position, but that didn't make them great. And just because they said something in God's kingdom, that didn't bring greatness. How many of you as parents, or maybe not as parents in work, you use the phrase, do what I say, not as I do. That's something that is almost accepted these days. Parents, I hope you never say that to your children. You need to be an example to your children, not only in speech, but in action. But we also tend to follow what is popular and what is not right. Just because a lot of people are doing the same thing doesn't make that the right thing to do. If it doesn't align with God's scripture, then you have to not do those things. This is, again, why we teach you and encourage you every single week to get into the Word of God, get into your Bible reading so that you know the truth of God, so that you are then aware of everything else that is not the truth. Because a lot of people can follow a lie. A lot of people have followed lies. And just because you see someone with a great ministry or a great church doesn't mean that they are always doing the right thing. But then it doesn't also mean if somebody has a small ministry that they're doing things wrong. Greatness in God's eyes doesn't have anything to do with numbers. It's about the heart. Are you following the words of God? Are you going through with what he has called you to do? The Pharisees were not. And so the disciples saw this, and this put into their thinking. And then Jesus goes on in Matthew 23, 5 and 7, and he says, everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and most people and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. You see, for the Pharisees, their leadership was based on popularity and appearance. The phylacteries were what God commanded them to do, was to take these little boxes and to put the Hebrew law and the text inside those boxes, and they were to wear them around their foreheads as a reminder to remember the laws of God. And so they would walk around with these on their heads, but then the position of their thinking and their leadership got them to think that the bigger the box, the bigger the ministry. And so they made them extra big. I don't know how heavy they bit, but they probably had neck pains maybe, I don't know. But carrying those around, they made the teaching that if they had large phylacteries, that they would then be more godly, and that was not the case. And the tassels, they talked about that. They would put tassels along the hems of their robes and their garments, because as they walked and as they looked, that would be a reminder that they are to walk into the obedience of what God has for them. But then they got it in their minds to do it a certain way, where the longer the tassels, the more religious they were. But no matter how you make yourself look on the outside, God sees your heart and he knows exactly your motives and where you're coming from. You can't fool God. You may be able to fool other people, but God has his best for you and you cannot fool him. Verse 8 and 10, Jesus says, "But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah." The Pharisees loved to use their titles, but Jesus was coming and saying that titles aren't necessarily in themselves wrong, but the heart of those that love the titles, that collect the titles, that demand the titles, that is where they are wrong. A title does not make somebody great in God's eyes. But yet the popular thinking is that it does. Jesus explained that the leadership styles of the Pharisees, that showing their greatness isn't built on position or popularity or proclamation, but he shows this as the true sign of great leadership in verses 11 and 12, where he says, "The greatest among you will be your servant. But for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." You see, a common misunderstanding and misconception among those who want to exercise leadership over others is that they think that glory and power and positions of honor bring greatness. But that's not how God's kingdom works. The greatest among those in the kingdom of God is the one that humbles himself to do things that you don't think should be done, because it's below you, because it's not what is normally done. But yet you choose to put your feelings aside and you serve the needs of someone else. You put their needs above your own. Upside down living involves service that is rooted in sacrifice. Jesus, the Son of God, had every right to demand that what was happening to him, that he should have the greatest position of power. But that isn't the case. He was the greatest servant of all. He brought himself to the bottom. The key to the life that Jesus had was not that he came to be served, but to serve. Today, are you looking more to be served by others rather than you serving them? Are you treating other people poorly because they're not meeting your needs? Or are you looking for the needs of people around you and trying to meet those needs? Humility is not a natural virtue. It's not something that comes easy. It's something that has to be worked towards. It's not easy to come and to do things that you may not want to do or things that you think are not your job. But yet we do it because we serve the Lord. And we serve him with gladness. And we serve him with peace of knowing that his ways are right. If we desire greatness, then we have to deliberately choose the lowliest and the most humble position. Now, let's turn back to Mark chapter 9. And let's look and see what's happening. Jesus then, he took a child and he put him in his midst of them. It says in verse 36. And taking them into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is a difficult concept to understand, is that when we serve other people, we're not just serving them, we are serving the God who created us. The Pharisees and how they rejected Jesus, they weren't just rejecting him as a person, they were rejecting the purpose of God. When we come and we humble ourselves and we put ourselves in an attitude of surrender and service of other people, what we're doing is we are taking the nature of Christ in our life. And we're saying to someone else that their life has value. Their life has value because God has given them value. And a lot of people need to hear that message. You know people that need to know that there is purpose for their life, that they have a reason for being here on this earth, that there is a God in heaven that loves them. They need to know that. And the best way that we can accomplish this is through serving them and loving them and showing the love of the Father to them. And Jesus then illustrated by taking a child and putting them in his lap and bringing them before the leaders and the Pharisees and the disciples. And in that time, children were not seen as significant or of importance. They were just seen as a responsibility or one to be looked after. But Jesus was taking this child and he was saying, we need to be like this child. We are to become like them. And this was a radical transformation from what was being taught. Children are important. Here at North Place Church, children are important. That's why we have an amazing staff. Pastor Alicia and her team do an amazing work each week and making sure that we invest in our children because they are important. They have a purpose. They're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. And if we don't invest in our children and we don't see how they live life and live our life like they live theirs, then we are missing the opportunity for what God is wanting to do in their life. Jesus was saying these children are important. There is no one too small for you not to serve. There is no one in your life that should be around you that you should treat harshly or that you should not respect. Because if we receive these, then God will receive us, and they will see that God receives them as well. A child is important to Jesus. And this is what it comes down to. This was the point that Jesus was trying to make, is that upside down living entails caring about people. If you don't care for people, you're going to have a hard time living in God's kingdom. And I know people make you angry. I know they frustrate you. I know they let you down. I know that it's difficult trusting some people. But you have to care for them. You have to love them as much as you love yourself. And we love ourselves a lot. But there's a balance of what Jesus is saying and what he wants us to do. Our purpose is to believe in all people and to help them accomplish the purpose for what God has for them. God loves each and every one. And our responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ is to make them aware that there is a God that loves them and that he cares for them and that he wants to know them and have a relationship with them. Forgotten people in those forgotten places are who we need to be reaching out to. My wife Sarah and I, we lived in Cape Town previously for 2 years. And while we were there, we were able to have a great relationship and develop a great relationship with a woman called Noma Songo. She lived in Khayelitsha, the largest township there in Cape Town area. And we met her as she had just started a new ministry about 3 years or so previous to us arriving. She had a daughter whose name was Sibongile. Sibongile had cerebral palsy, and she ended up dying of that at about the age of 13. And Noma Songo, on Sibongile's deathbed, promised her that she would care for other children with cerebral palsy. Because she had heard the stories and she had seen how children with cerebral palsy are treated. They're dropped off in garbage cans and left to die. They are just abandoned because they are thought to have demonic spirits in them. Or there are families that just don't care for them and because they just don't have the effort to care for a child with special needs. And so God had burdened her and placed this in her heart to start a care center for children that had cerebral palsy. So when we arrived and got to see her and be involved in her ministry, she had a few cribs that were set up, maybe about 6 children. We loved on them and cared for them, and she gave 24-hour care to those children, feeding them, changing their nappies, clothing them, providing everything that those children needed. And then we moved to the States, but I've had opportunities to come back and to visit with her. And today, she has 5 houses. Houses, proper houses, where she cares for over 50 children that have cerebral palsy. This one single woman from Khayelitsha that knew that these children were forgotten. But yet she knew that somebody had to do something to meet the needs of these children. And so she didn't pray for somebody else to come around. She took it upon herself to say, I have to do something. I have to serve these. And now God has blessed her. It is a phenomenally Christian-run ministry where she has over 24 volunteers that dedicate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to caring for these children. This is what I'm talking about, church. It's finding needs. and meeting those needs. And not thinking that you're too good to do those things. But because we have the ultimate example of Jesus Christ coming down, the God of the universe, humbling himself and putting himself in human form, he did that because he loves you and he cares for you and he doesn't like that the sin separates us and him, and so he did something about it. And so he came and he died on the cross for us. Upside down living is this: you are more important than me. That's what Jesus was saying. If we exalt ourselves, we will be humbled. But if we humble ourselves, then we will be exalted, not by yourself, but by God. God is the one that should exalt you, not yourself. Now, does that mean you don't go apply for promotions? Of course, do that. If that is God's direction for you, then you work your hardest and you do your best and you become the best of who you are. But I'm talking about in other areas and regions of our lives where we tend to kind of focus more on our needs and who we are, and we forget about those that need God just as much. It's upside down. It's different than what our world is saying, that you look out only for you, that you do whatever you have to do to succeed. Follow the commands of God, and he will continue you and bless you in this life and in the life to come. So in the midst of this struggle, Jesus, he enters into this picture, and he comes and he shows us the new way. And this new way is that Jesus demonstrates that he is the one that gives us true value. When we compare ourselves to other people, we are looking for the value out of those people. We are looking for the validation. And many times I think we might become great is because we are afraid of becoming unimportant or insignificant. But I'm here to tell you that if you put your faith in God, he is the one that gives you your value, and you always have a place at his table. You are always his child. You are in the family of God, and that is where your value comes from. Not from other people, not from work, not from family, not from friends, not from relationships or lack of relationships. Our value comes from Jesus Christ. He is the one that shows us that we are of infinite value, that we are of infinite worth in his life, and that he loves us because he created us. He created us to know him. And when we understand that love, and when we get that in our hearts, and we realize the love that the Father has for us, then we can serve other people in love, because we're not looking for value in those situations. We're looking to bless people with the love of God. We don't have to be afraid that we don't always get the best, or we don't always land on top, because we know that if we are doing what we should be doing in God's kingdom, he will make sure that everything is right. Our focus has to be on Jesus. Our value comes from Jesus. And that love and that value that we receive in our life overflows into the lives of other people. That is what he has called us to do. So where are you today in your life? Are you trying to be the greatest? Are you going through your life and just blowing past people, not caring what happens to them, but how you treat them? But are you truly trying to put others first and yourselves last? God wants us to align ourselves with his vision and with his calling. That's not easy. Daily, you have to dedicate your life to making choices to serve God. Daily, you have to make these decisions to say, today, I choose to put other people first. I choose to serve others. I choose to do these things because I know that God has called me to do greater things. And my greatest desire is to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, of whom I've committed my life to serving.
Thanks for listening to this message from North Place Church, Durban. Feel free to duplicate or share this message. If you live in the Durban area, we would love to connect with you. We meet every Sunday at 9:30 a.m.